Well, if you'd like to read with us, I'm going to read one verse in Exodus, in the 29th chapter, the 14th verse, says, "But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shall thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering." Then if you turn over into Hebrews, the 13th chapter, I'm sorry, and start with the 11th verse. "For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Then if you'll turn into the 22nd chapter of the Psalms of David, and reading the 14th verse, and this is the picture that you get from the cross, from Christ's viewpoint of the crucifixion. It said, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." Now, as I was reading this, and I first read that in Hebrews, and it brought the other scripture to my mind, and, you know, nothing in the crucifixion of Christ was done by accident. None of the events that took place were accident. It was all the very plan of God for salvation. And like the Mosaic law, they had very strict orders of what they was to do with a sacrifice. And the sin sacrifice was burnt on the outside of the camp, but the blood was taken into the altar. And you'll find then Christ, instead of being crucified in Jerusalem, he was taken outside and crucified there on the hill. And the death that he died there, when you read that in the 22nd chapter of Psalms, it said his heart was like wax and melted inside of him. A doctor done a study on a crucifixion and what a cruel death it was and just what the body went through. And in his study, he found that the heart would fill up with fluid, the sac around the heart, till it would gradually get so full that it would end up bursting. And that water would run down inside and it would feel to the person that was on the cross. It would have felt real warm and hot, that water going down inside of them. And there in the Psalms of David, David no doubt did not understand what he was putting on paper, what that was the true meaning of it. But it was something that was inspired from God, and Christ telling exactly what he was feeling as he was hanging there on the cross, fulfilling the very commands of God. And a lot of people, they think that he came and he died not understanding what it was going to be like. He understood very well. That's why the garden that died, he was already in agony. Could die. You know, there's been a lot of crucifixion, but none like Christ. Because any man that was being crucified was dying for that that he had done, or being punished for basically the stand that he had taken on something, even though he might have been innocent of being of anything that should have been put to death. He was dying pretty much for his own failings or for his own stand. But Christ was dying there not because he had done anything wrong, but because he had done everything right. He was dying in our place. And like the song, it should have been me on the cross. You and I today, there's not a man alive that when they look in their life can see us in their own heart. I deserve to be funny. Such a death is there for what I done. Why? Because I've never met a man that was willing to tell you what I've done is worthy of death. What I've done is so bad. I should really suffer more. You take the open criminal and deliver me. And most of the time, they're bravely on the way they were raised. Or something in the law that made them so hard that they created some awful crime. Go out and murder a lot of people. Whatever it is, they'll try and justify as if they're not really in wrong. It was because some of them, they're not to blame. What Christ truly was not to blame. He was dying in my place and yours. And our sin is one
that made him have to die such a death as that.
And fulfilling the word of God, even the Jews did not realize the sacrifice that they was helping to be given. They didn't realize when they was condemning there unjustly, and the Romans, when they took him out and crucified him, they did not realize, because they had not spent enough time in the Word of God, that they were fulfilling the very Word of God. If they had of, they would have read it and understood what they were doing. But God had them blinded so that they might fulfill the very work that Christ come to do. You and I today, man might think that it's not necessary this day and time to pray and to go through all of that. It's not necessary to get down and repent. It's not necessary to have to come to the point where you really recognize such a death is there. Because time has changed. But you'll find, according to the Bible, I don't care what time that we live, if God spares His world for another 2,000 years, man will still have to come down and bow and pray and ask for forgiveness of their sin for that they've done in their life. And the only one that's able to forgive them, the only one that's able to cleanse them, is this one, Christ there. He died in that blood. It's still fresh today to wash my sin and yours away. It will come down before no other sacrifice has ever been given that could do that. All the lambs and the bull and the bullock all that died down the cross down in sacrifice was not able to change a man. There was no sacrifice that could ever change a man. If it's a new preacher, hallelujah, of the Christ died and rose again. And that sacrifice, when a man comes to hell, cleansed in that blood, he's no longer the same. He is truly changed. And you know, I thank God that each and every one of us in our life today, no matter what sin that we've done, Christ's blood is still sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the devil will lie to people and tell them that they're so bad they can't be forgiven. That's not true. You and I today, I would say if anybody could not have been forgiven, it would have been the ones that nailed Christ to the cross. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you know, I'm glad that he did. Because whether we like to admit it or not, we had part in that crucifixion. Our sin was what held him to the cross. Just like the Bible, he could have called for 10,000 angels to deliver him at any time he wanted. But he was obedient unto death. Why? Because that's what it took to redeem me and you. And unless you're willing to accept that you're part of that, you will never know freedom. You will never know forgiveness. You'll never know joy and happiness. You know, I was hearing a man talk about riches, great wealth, and they said money cannot buy happiness. And money, all the evil and the stuff that money causes. But really, when you get down to it, it's not the money that causes it. It's the love of that money. Money itself, if a man uses it wisely, if a man lets it do good work, there is nothing wrong with having millions of dollars as long as you keep it in its proper place. But you and I, when we get to we love that to the point that we don't do what we should for God, or we love that money so much that it's the most important thing in our life, that is our God. And God said, I'll have no other God before me. You and I today, look back in the Bible. Men that had money. Job, he was a wealthy man. But Job recognized all that he had was a gift from God. God gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because he recognized it was God before God gave it to him. And it was still God wherever it went. And he was still going to praise God. Why? Because he said, in other words, God is so great. How can we only expect good to come our way? And no evil. Can we say that we didn't deserve it, Lord? Can we say that we're so good that nothing wrong could happen to it? And because some wrong could happen, can we blame God? No, we can't. Praise God still. And because of it, God gave him back double than everything that he had. But children, he gave him the same number. I remember back as a kid here, the preacher prayed. He said, of God, knowing that the sacrifice that Christ gives was for us, that we might be redeemed, that we might be a changed person, a new creature. Listen, it says, without Jesus, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer without the gate. You and I, there's a lot of people that they can see blood and they get real squeamish. They just don't want to even look upon it. But you and I, we're going to have to get a picture of the blood of Christ and it being applied to us, surrendering unto it before we're ever going to know what it is to have true salvation. You know, there's a lot of religions today that took songs out of the hymnal that had anything to mention in it about blood. But without the blood, you and I are still in our sin. Christ, he shed his blood. That was life. Blood is the life of the body. That blood is it drained out of Christ's body. His life went. But oh, how thankful I am. That blood is what brings life unto
the things happen, and to you, when it's a life toward happiness, then we begin to know what it is to really live. I've heard people say, I thought I loved my wife, but when I got back with God, then I knew what it was to really love her. I thought I loved my children, but when I got back with God, then I knew what it was to really love my children. Well, you and I, brother, when we get right with God, then we can begin to understand just how precious that blood is. For it made a new creature out of it. It didn't leave us the same. We become alive in Christ Jesus. Our desires change.
In our way of speaking, in our daily life, changes drastically. And back in the Old Testament, the sin offering, when it was burned, without the camp, all being burned, but the blood taken to the altar. Christ was burned. Not with fire, as most people would think, as he hung there on the cross. But it was the torment and the torture of such a death that his body to him felt like it was melting on the inside. And you and I today, that blood, there's people probably there thinking that blood, as it dripped down, it just went to the ground. I've often wondered about the ones that lifted it, the cross up when they stood in the hall, how much blood they had on them. From it dripping down, I've often wondered about the one that reached up and pierced inside, how much blood that he had on him. I wonder if the wind was blowing there that day, how much of that blood may be sprinkled on someone that was around the cross. But there was not a drop of it. I've heard a lot of people, they say, oh, he shed his blood. But if you look up the definition, that means something that was wasted. His blood was not wasted. Every drop of it was given for you and me, that we might be redeemed. That blood is still fresh today to cleanse us from our sin. And it will be for all of eternity. For you and I to realize that that door of mercy is open today, but tomorrow it may be closed. And if we would just read that 22nd Psalm and get a picture of what Christ was feeling, what he was going through, just what shame he was feeling there. A righteous God being stripped, beaten, and treated worse than any criminal. Why? They released a man that was guilty of murder and crucified a man that was innocent. That Pilate himself said, I find no fault in him. And thought a pan of water would cleanse his hands of that innocent man's blood. But he still let them go ahead and crucify. You and I today, there is nothing that will get the blood of Jesus Christ off of you to where you don't have to give an account of it except by having it applied to all of you. You and I, that blood is standing there and we're going to give an account of what we did with it. According to the Bible, it will cleanse us from all sin. I don't care how bad you've been, what you've done, God is able to forgive and to redeem you. Even the greatest sinner on the face of the earth, the most vilest man that's ever lived, if he'd get on his knees and pray before God, while God is knocking at that door, he can still be forgiven. You and I today, God's hand is outstretched, wanting to forsake, wanting to forgive, even in this hour in which we live. Will you accept the sacrifice that He gave? Just as we were reading to you there, that blood is what sanctifies us and redeems us. That blood is what makes the difference. And each and every one of us, we must be willing to bow our knee. You know, I can remember hearing people say, I will never bow to no old Jew. Well, you know, Christ come born into a Jewish family, the very Son of God. And He said there was coming a time every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. You might say, I will never bow. But the rich man, he had everything that he needed here in this life. He didn't see any reason to bow. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and began to pray. Do you realize, in hell, there's a prayer meeting going on like this world has never heard of. But those prayers will never be answered. You and I today, mercy is extended. A ear of God is open to your cries if you only call upon Him. While we get some song to sing, will you come? God, in His great love and mercy, is still reaching out today, saying, come. Come. Each and every one of us, we can use every excuse we want, but when we stand before God, God sees and knows what's in the heart. He knows exactly what we are. You know, I've had people to tell me all what I felt like that they were not right with God. And they'd tell me, well, I know I'm a Christian, and I did not have the right to say, you're not. Because I don't see that heart on the inside. I might feel it. I might feel even impressed of God that they're lost. But I do not have that right unless I see them in open sin to say you're lost. But you could be honest. If you ask God the question, Lord, how do I stand with you? You will know the answer. God will tell you. And when we stand before Him, there won't be a man there that was honest of heart of what knew beforehand what he was going to hear on that day. You know whether your heart's right or whether it's not. And if it's not right, you'll hear Him say, depart from me. That's what He'll say. While we sing, will you come? What's in your heart? Do you really know beyond a shadow of any doubt that your sin has been forgiven? Do you know that you have been sanctified by that blood, set apart, made a new creature in Christ Jesus? That's what God wants you to be. And He died for that reason, that you might be one of His children. Will you come? Yeah.